In Jesus' day, a guest was always given the greatest honor and the best treatment possible. Hospitality was a sacred duty, and all stops were pulled to ensure visitors enjoyed themselves. So, with flour in her hair and a couple of pots about to boil over and the table yet to be set, Martha is understandably fed up with her younger sibling, who's just sitting serenely at Jesus' feet, listening. How dare she? Here she is, cleaning while Mary cops out, dusting while Mary dreams, mopping while Mary marvels, making supper while Mary meditates. Besides being blatantly unfair, it's the youngest child who is supposed to do the chores. The family's chain of command dictates it. Mary represents a sibling getting away with murder, and whose nose wouldn't be put out of joint in a situation like this? It's not fair, Martha rails at Jesus. Come on, tell her to help me. And I can't blame her, really, can you? I've never had a sister or a brother, so didn't have anyone to share chores with. But I understand teamwork, and this isn't teamwork. As an aside, Mary is actually breaking all sorts of rules. By sitting at Jesus' feet instead of doing her womanly duties, she is committing a radically countercultural violation that an unmarried woman would sit at the feet of a single man, a rabbi no less, and be instructed in religious teaching. In first century Palestine, women were forbidden to study scripture. The words of the Torah, declared first century Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, the words of the Torah should be burned rather than entrusted to women. And here's a similar gem. If a man gives his daughter knowledge of the law, it is as though he taught her lechery. You may have seen, as I did, the 1983 film Yentl. Just for interest, who saw Yentl? Those of you who aren't able to raise your hand, it's probably still available somewhere. It's wonderful. Played by Barbara Streisand, it actually dramatizes the whole forbiddenness of scripture to the female type. Played by Barbara Streisand, young Yentl wants with all her heart to study Torah. And her father, a bookseller no less, provides the Torah to everyone but her. Finally, in great desperation, she cuts her long, beautiful hair, puts on pants to swagger like a boy, and pretends to be a boy to attend yeshiva, religious school. She has to deny what God made her to come closer to God. But getting back to Martha, I understand her, and so do you. We've all felt like that, running around doing things that are important to us, while somebody else who is supposed to be helping us isn't and doesn't. Martha, harried, anxious, and running on fumes, while her little helpmate just lounges there, oblivious to her frazzlement. Martha blows up. Martha triangulates. Instead of talking directly to Mary, to tackling her head on, she tells Jesus, "Fix this." And Jesus, with frustratingly delicate ambiguity, defends Mary in her choice to sit quietly and learn from him. Unlike Jesus's unequivocal "go and do likewise" response given to the lawyer in last Sunday's gospel, Jesus simply favors Mary's hunger for relationship with God, favors it over Martha's busyness and worldly concerns. At various times, the church has used these two contemporaries of Jesus as examples of two different approaches to the spiritual life. Martha, of course, representing the so-called active life, a life of doing, and Mary, the contemplative, a life of being. And this distinction fits right in with our Western culture's either-or way of seeing things. It's called dualism, separating things into kind of black and white categories. We learn at an early age that most everything has a sort of opposite: good, bad, body, mind, light, dark, us, them, action, contemplation. And one tends to be ranked as better than the other. This gospel story can easily be read like that, with Mary winning. After all, didn't Jesus say she chose the better part? And Martha then becomes the poster child for all that's wrong with a life of busyness, often considered inferior to the life of contemplation. But Lord knows, somebody has to prepare the food, and the world needs activists and workers. Jesus does not deny that. He simply points out that Mary has chosen a particular opportunity in a particular time and place. And he not only allows this to happen, he encourages it. Mary has chosen to seize the moment for the sake of God's kingdom, and that choice is a good one. I tend more to be a Martha myself. And in our culture of hectic schedules and the pursuit of productivity, it's hard sometimes to be otherwise. Even though there are a lot of us retired people here, I'm retired, what are you doing? It's true, much of our busyness stems from the noblest of intentions. We want to provide for our families. We want to help our children, serve our neighbors, and serve our God. But we get so busy, it's hard to even think straight. We feel pulled in conflicting directions and get worried and distracted by countless things. Even though we know that worrying doesn't help much, and a lot of what we wind up worrying about in the end doesn't really matter. We get so caught up in putting out fires and dealing with emergencies, there's just no time left for the really important things, like spending time with family and friends, taking care of our own legitimate needs, even spending time with God. And like Martha, we let our worries become our focus, and the urgent begins to overtake what's really important. Please tell me I'm not alone here. Sometimes we need to be a little more like Mary instead of being all caught up with going and doing and trying to be everything to everybody. Slowing our internal pace helps us be more receptive to God's still, small voice and helps us focus our time and attention in a way that, in the long run, is actually more productive and fruitful than the scattershot approach to getting things done. The doing modes, of course, focused on action, on goals and accomplishing those goals, and tells you there's always more you could, should be doing. Anybody relate to that? The way most of us were raised tells us doing is better than being. So do. And when we're busy doing, we don't have time, really, to be feeling. The being mode values presence. It focuses on mindfulness and the journey itself rather than on just the goal or destination, and says your intrinsic value and worth, your intrinsic value and self-worth are more, far more about who you are than what you do. In today's story, Jesus affirms Mary's choice of simple being as vital for her relationship with God. And all human relationships need time for quiet and rest and simple connectedness with the other. Be still and know. Be still and trust. Be still and rest in God's presence. All this embraces the age-old dialectic between being and doing that's summed up by the question, are you a human being or a human doing? Which can imply that the latter, doing, is better than the former, being. It isn't. They're both essential to be fully human, so our Martha and Mary story isn't about making a choice. Which should I be, a Martha or a Mary? It's about rather acknowledging when and how each one should get our attention, be it doing or being. Mary did that. She focused on the moment, much to Martha's sisterly vexation. Another way to say this is that our spiritual life needs to motivate our action. Spiritual life, action. And our action needs to be grounded on what I like to call God's stuff. God's stuff. A holy equilibrium, and something I admit clergy, I think, in particular, seem to have special trouble with. Not looking at you for any reason, Alistair. Rather than mere beasts of burden, we are called to lighten up and smell those proverbial roses, literally as well as figuratively. Every Sunday we have a magnificent display of flowers right here and often in other beautiful places, given to the glory of God in memory of loved ones. And let me ask you a question that is only for you to answer. How often do you think to stop and actually take a sniff? I do, usually every Sunday. Because God's holy fragrance emanates from those petals as much as it does from that altar. We need to be regularly spiritually energized to be kind of plugged in to the Holy One who is forever calling us, come closer, come closer. There's a song that says, worship and work must be one. So while I'm not suggesting you should spend Sunday mornings on the golf course instead of here with your siblings, I am saying we need to remember there is no true separation between the so-called sacred and the so-called secular. The Christ is all in all. To be simply means to exist. And there's no need to strive for it. We're already there, all the time. The dishes can wait.